strategic planning committee, and the roll call is basically Director Shore is out of the country, so the two of us are here, and you approve the agenda?
I approve the agenda.
Do you have any corrections in the minutes?
I do not.
Okay. Are there any public comments? Okay. And the item for new business, I will turn it over to Dr. Barsicky.
All right. A few months ago, we authorized the release of a request for proposals to identify a consultant who can help the district by completing a community health needs assessment and a health improvement plan.
Excuse me.
We released that request for proposals in October, I believe. In November, we requested to have external reviewers to help the staff look at those proposals. We received 8 proposals from organizations in and outside the state of California. It was a very competitive process, and a combination of internal and external reviewers scored the proposals that were received, and the proposal that scored the highest was HARC, which is here today. So you can see on page 6 of 7, the list of applicants that we had and how the reviewers scored those proposals. So you can see that HARC came up at the top with 48.5 points out of 50. And you have the reviewing tool on pages 7, 8, 9, and 10. And the rest of the documents are a copy of the proposal that was received. So the recommendation from the staff is to approve the proposal that was submitted by HARC and authorize the CEO to sign a contract with HARC.
Okay.
Questions?
Any questions?
Yes. The proposal, can I just go right into it?
Sure.
I only have 2 questions, actually. One of my big concerns before we even, as we started talking about this, was about the research that I felt that we needed to do, collect research that other people had already collected. In your, I can correct, in the proposal you shared with us, also, first of all, thank you, nice to see you all. This proposal looked like it took a very long time, it was very well done, it was very easy to read, so thank you for your hard work on it.
Before you continue, should we talk a little bit about how it's changed since what they've seen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, sorry to interrupt you, Trent, but, at our meetings that we had at the site visit, a lot of great things came up, a lot of great questions, and so Conrado asked us to submit a revised scope of work, because I was like, these are all fabulous ideas, do I get a chance to amend the proposal? So it did, so already there are some things that have changed from what you saw, and I think most notable among this is that we've added a steering committee of local leaders, like people from public health or UCR's Center for Healthy Communities, people who will be sharing their data with us and their work on what they've done, and hopefully will be very involved in the CHIP, because the district is very aware that you can't do it yourself, right? And that's not appropriate to do it yourself either. So the steering committee is those people, those individuals, those organizations who will hopefully be going along and making changes with the district going forward. And so we're hoping to engage them early. This is in addition to the advisory council of community members, which has changed slightly now. Now it's just community members. And that's really the largest one.
Sorry, just community members as opposed to?
Originally it was one community member from each of the 7 districts and 2 content matter experts and 2 and 2 nonprofits that served the area.
Oh yeah, that's what
now
I read, yeah.
We're putting them all sort of in that steering committee, and the advisory council will be strictly the 7 individuals from each of your 7 districts, which another change that we did is those will be chosen randomly by self-selection rather than having each of the directors choose theirs.
So how will you, how, if you're only going to have community members, how will you get your content experts?
That is what we plan to bring. We plan to bring in guest speakers and lecturers, and then also if district staff would like to attend, they are more than welcome to be there as content.
I guess I'm a little confused. When I think of the word community members, I usually think of non-professional residents as opposed to people that have knowledge, specific knowledge.
Right. So the advisory council will be the former, and the steering committee will be the latter. So in the former, they will be providing, the advisory council will be providing information for us on how to engage their communities, which is something they certainly are experts in. They know their neighborhoods, they know the gathering places, they know where we should be looking to gather grassroots feedback. They also know, because they aren't content experts, okay, here's our results. How do we make this digestible to the layperson? What do you recommend for how we format this, how we say this, how we make it digestible and understandable? They'll be helping with that, and they'll be helping also with context. Well, look, we have this kind of odd finding, and somebody may say, oh, well, that's true for me, because in my personal life, et cetera, et cetera. So they will be there to provide the community aspect, while the steering committee provides the professional expertise, data aspect, change-making aspect.
Can you tell us one more time why you chose to separate them?
That sort of came out of our conversation of the advisory council will be involved sort of minimally and peripherally along the way, but what we're asking of them is different than the steering committee. Obviously, community members don't have any data to share with us. They, to be perfectly honest, won't have the power to make major changes as a result of this CHNA and this CHIP, whereas the steering committee does. They have data to share with us, they have expertise to share with us. They may want to weigh in on what areas and what indicators should be included on the survey so that they feel ownership of it and they can take it and run with it at the end with the CHIP under Desert Healthcare District's guidance.
Okay, I'm still trying to digest some of this. Let me just give you an example. When you go talk to community members, they're going to talk about things like access and transportation and cost and things like that, which are all very important. But on the other hand, when you look at health equity, it turns out that some of the biggest disparities are in preventive care services. Well, you wouldn't expect the community members necessarily to know what are the preventive care services that really do make a difference, and how are the different communities accessing those preventive care services? And I actually think that that will be where a lot of the, this is my personal opinion, bang for the buck is going to be. Because if you can provide these preventive services, which by the way are covered at no cost through everything for people who are insured, you're going to be able to affect health outcomes. And you're going to have something measurable. So how are you going to talk to community members about these kind of concrete scientific things, medical things?
So I would say it's a very iterative process, right? So the science is the data that's been collected by all these wonderful partners and that can show things like that, right? So we can focus on where are the disparities, where do we have problems with health equity? And then we take that information to the community and sort of ask their input. Is this your lived experience? Does this affect you? Because sometimes the numbers on a report don't relate as closely to what the community experiences. This is also the reason why the district will be prioritizing their top five on based on severity and prevalence and what they think they can affect and health equity issues, while the community prioritizes separately. And then we'll bring that information back, and the district may or may not choose to alter their priorities based on that, but it'll be a piece of information that can be used to fit into that. It's not the end all be all from the community.
Okay. Well, let me just then say what I will be looking for down the line, and again, it sounds very paternalistic, I'm sorry, but it's also my physician hat, I want to know, you know, what percentage of people in different communities are getting colon cancer screening, or having their diabetes taken care of, or getting flu shots, or things like that. Because those are the things that, I mean, yes, the bigger sort of gestalt things like access and transportation are important, but they're not necessarily measurable, or as easily measurable. And I think to really make it clear that we are a healthcare district, and yes, there are social determinants of health, I know that, I want to make sure that there are concrete preventable health issues in there. And I don't know that you'll get them from community members, but hopefully your experts will say.
Again, most of the data we'll be collecting and analyzing isn't from community members or from the experts, it's from databases.
Yeah, but who's going to tell you what data to collect? in terms of preventive care measures or health outcomes or things like that.
So that is one of our very first steps that actually Casey's already started on, is getting a list of those indicators, what the measurement is, where it's from, and then presenting that to the district to say, okay, here's our list. Is there anything missing?
But is that going to come from an advisory group, or your staff's going to do the research and then bring it to us?
That's, yes.
Okay.
And every one of those indicators you mentioned is already in there.
Okay.
Yes, to which part? Yes, the staff will be doing it, okay, and bringing it forward.
It would be good if, between the staff and bringing it here, you run it by some content experts in preventive health or public health, because our board mm-hmm. has different kinds of people on it, and it would be good to have kind of an outside look at that.
We can definitely add that. And in fact, I do think we are bringing it to the steering committee to say, here's what we're measuring, and to also sort of say, what data they might have that would inform the CHNA, whether they'd be willing to share it, the processes of sharing that, whether it's citing VAAs with those who are covered by HIPAA, working with them to understand their data, and getting their input on what other data can be included. So that step will be done before it goes before your board in the feasibility report, but not before it goes to your staff.
I mean, I'm very supportive of this, and I think it's great, and I think you guys are the right people to do it. And it's going to be, and I think it's going to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because unfortunately the data exists in so many different places, some of which are going to be hard to access. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can tell you that if you look at only Kaiser members, you can determine how many have had colonoscopies and when their last one was. But not everybody is in a closed system like that with an electronic health record. And Eisenhower can't give you that data. Even Desert can't give you that data. It has to come from the people who are providing primary care, and only if they have an integrated system. And of course, you know, IEHP may be able to do some of that.
And that's why it's important to have that steering committee to get the buy-in from those agencies, from the Borregos, from the Clinicas, from all of those agencies that might possibly be able to share their data. Obviously, I have no power to force anyone. But if you can pull together enough of it, you can start
And maybe in addition to the data that you can gather directly, you're going to have to ask people, have you had a colonoscopy? Or do you even know what a colonoscopy is? Things like that. And especially amongst the uninsured, it's going to have to be a survey of some kind. And it's going to be important, especially when you're looking for disparities, to do that. So again, preventive health care is one of the things I think we can make a big difference with, because a small improvement can make a big difference in health outcomes.
Any questions?
No. How did you have any questions or comments?
This kind of answers what I was thinking of. From like the PP Health Center side of me, it's like, yeah, we're going to need to know some of the, if we were to, just thinking by myself, not from my organization, but if we were to expand services or X, Y, and Z, these are the numbers we would need.
thinking about it in my C4 hat, political, public policy type of area, we can't, some of these things that are going to be needed for preventative care, politicians can't do, right? Like, they're not doctors, they're not scientists, they're, some of them are just politicians, right? So also thinking of, through that lens, whatever your report, whatever the needs assessment comes out with, making sure that we can create real policy, tangible X, Y's, and Z's with our local electeds is going to be important. Not sure how much they can do around, like, the ACA, right, can only go so far, has only been able to go so far. Not sure some of our electeds can move the needle on that, right? Some of those conversations are nationwide conversations. What can they do locally? And then also, yeah, our FQHCs and other folks who have a lot more autonomous power, when they look at your report, what decisions you're going to make afterwards, and those relationships that you build in the advisory, you're right, 100% important. They need to have buy-in. They need to be able to say, this is the information I'm gonna need to be able to make the changes internally to provide more care, different care.
But I think you're gonna find that in some communities, they don't even know that, I hate to use this example, that colorectal cancer screening is recommended. So for that community, you have to have an education campaign. Forget about collecting data, because there is no data. They don't have insurance. Their care is fragmented. So you need to figure out, how do you educate them that this is an important thing? Maybe what are the three or four or five important, most important things that people without health insurance or that are not connected to a closed system need to know in order to have better health outcomes. On the other hand, people that are maybe in that have insurance but are not necessarily connected to a closed system, their needs are going to need to be different. They may need some education, but they're also going to need to know how to access. They may know they need it, but they don't know how to access it, or they don't know. They don't know, for example, that there's no copay on preventive care. Most people don't know that, and I'm sure you're going to find that some people, the reason they don't get preventive care, even though they have insurance, is they think it's too expensive. Well, that's because they don't know there's no copay.
Right. So. Or their insurance is not great.
Well, but if they have insurance, it has to be covered. Certain preventive things have to be covered by law now. So
I think that the goal is to be extraordinarily broad in the CHNA. And so that it's not just what pieces can Desert Healthcare District affect, what pieces are appropriate for Desert Healthcare District to affect, but what pieces are appropriate for our policymakers to affect, and what are appropriate for our care providers to affect. You know, I think that my understanding is that this needs to be a very broad look at our Coachella Valley, and what is the district's role, and is that organizing others for roles that aren't relevant. So for instance, you know, on the webinar, some questions came up about, well, what if one of the needs that emerges from the community is about water quality, right? That's the purview of the water districts, that's the purview of this, that, and the other, it's not the district's purview. And that's fine. In the process of a CHNA, those issues can come up, and you just have to explain why you're not addressing them, right? That's the standard in any CHNA. There's no way you're gonna be able to address everything. But that may be something that the policymakers have a role in talking about changing policy around water regulations, et cetera, et cetera. So that may be an important finding that we report that someone else will be doing. So I think to your point, Karen, they are absolutely critical to have involved, and we do need to have that mindset from the very get-go, right? And not afterwards go, oh, what could this mean for policy? Or what could this mean for, you know, a health and human services provider, not a direct care provider? You know, so I think that by adding this steering committee in, we will have that sort of perspective and be able to make a CHNA that really captures, obviously not everything, that's impossible, but captures the things that these stakeholders
and want. What you just said too, that will come out to the community health improvement plan, that this part of it needs more advocacy or policy, or this is something that can be changed on the medical side,
or this is the piece that needs
so
education
improvement plan, which comes out of this CHNA.
Yes, to try to visualize this work. The community health needs assessment is going to give us a baseline information. It's a data at one point in time. These are the health outcomes that we see in our community. These are the things that are impacting our health and our people. The second part of that is the health improvement plan, which is going to give us a broad long-term vision of how we improve those health outcomes and how we measure the impact of our collective work.
In so how do you go from the first thing to the second?
Exactly. Thing? How do we go from the one to the second? Once we have the information that is captured by the needs assessment.
Which is in like October?
No, well, it might be.
Summer-ish.
Yes.
Then we get into the health improvement plan, and that will be how do we envision and what is the community input into improving the health outcomes of our community, and what are the measurements that we can have in place to monitor that we are doing the right work.
Okay.
And the steering committee will be involved in that sort of logic modeling and evaluation planning phases as well, right? Because I'm not going to say, well, you know, this is really a role for Planned Parenthood. They're going to do X, Y, Z without having Planned Parenthood in the room. That's inappropriate and not a good way to build relationships. But if they are in the room and say, you know what, this is more reasonable and we want to measure this and we think this is a good short-term goal, this is a mid-term goal, and this is a long-term goal, that's all pieces that will be in the chip.
And again, specifically for the healthcare district and foundation to decide where it wants to spend its money and try to get other organizations to partner with us to improve these, you know, five specific things or whatever.
And I think that's a big part of that too, is looking at, you know, the resource mapping, right? What efforts are already underway in these very specific topics? And if there's an effort underway, does that mean you join that effort? Does that mean you don't tackle that because someone else has got that? Those are all discussions and things that will come out of this.
But we're going to find that in order to affect the whole district, we're going to have to somehow get the different players together to work together, and that may be ultimately be what the district's role is that there are already a lot of people doing this work. They don't know what the other person's doing, and they're not collecting data and whatever, and maybe there's some economy of scales in doing things together as opposed to the different.
Is there a way to find out how much money is being spent on particular topics already?
There are some indicators that might be utilized. For example, the United States Expenditure Panel provides pretty detailed level of expenditures on different topics, on Medicare, Medicaid, and even private insurance. So we can look into some of those things.
Will be Coachella Valley based?
They're not Coachella Valley based. That's the challenge that we have with our geographic region, that not all data is collected by zip codes. For example, that would be very helpful. There might be something that we can use to say on behavioral health, this is how much money is being used. And those expenditure panels typically break down on different types of services, so it's very rich data, but difficult to collect for specific segments of.
And the amount of money being spent and the effectiveness may not be correlated.
Exactly. There might be no correlation.
And that's why I'm interested in it, right? Like, if we know that the Lung Association is spending $3 million on the Coachella Valley, but teen smoking has gone up, right, where is the effect? And can we have that conversation with the Lung Association, like, hey, our data has shown this, and this is what we found out about your money. However, right, like, we see rates going up. Can we have that kind of responsibility conversation too with people about their money?
Well, I think if there hasn't been a recent assessment that says that the rate's going up, certainly we can share it with people who are working on smoking. And aren't there are even tobacco education funds out there from the state that are available. So again, whether that is one of the things that comes out.
I would like to see some money figures if you find any.
I think
I don't know if I can ask that.
Do you see what?
I would like to see some money figures if they happen to run across any.
And I think that would be an interesting thing. Again, this depends on what the park commissioner is willing to share, and whether it's that or not.
I wouldn't trust anything. I mean, first of all, they're going to be so filled. So Medicare is going to give you numbers that it provides for fee-for-service Medicare. Well, but Medicare Advantage plans are reimbursed in a different way, so you're never really going to know whatever. And then, of course, the indemnity for younger people, it's going to be very different. I don't know. I don't think the numbers are going to be that good for you. Plus, we also know that a colonoscopy in the Coachella Valley costs a lot different than a colonoscopy in San Francisco. So. Is it really?
If you find local numbers, those are the ones I'm interested in. I'm not interested in anything outside.
Right.
So that might just
move. And again, I think that really depends on what the partners are willing to share and how much buy-in they have to this process, right? So I'm on the board of Borrego, and I could see if we made a case for it, Mejia Wallace, the CEO of Borrego, would be very interested in having us honestly crunch some numbers for her, essentially. And that interested to the point that she would be willing to give up dollar numbers for procedures and what they're focused on. And they have 8 clinics here. They serve a lot of people. So it's not everybody, but it's a decent chunk and can give us some information. Similarly, I don't know if the hospitals can share. I don't know if they want to share. You know, that's the type of thing we'll have to negotiate, and we'll have to sign business associate agreements so that everybody's comfortable with it. And, you know, if one care provider wants to participate at this level, the other one wants to give, here you go, full rein on the database. Mm-hmm. But I do think that based on Desert Healthcare District standing in the community, a lot of people who might otherwise not play well together, mm-hmm. not saying that the hospitals don't love each other, but...
No, but we were going down that path on homeless numbers with, you know, Senate Bill 152 when it comes to working with Hospital Association of Southern California. How do we get all the hospitals to buy into at least provide totals and information so that we can understand what the impact is in our area? Some play, we're willing to share that. Not everybody in our valley is willing to share, but
at least we can do
that. A lot of this work is not going to be at the hospital level.
No.
It's going to be at the front line primary care level. And the financial data you're going to see is basically, you're only going to see when a doctor submits a claim, an insurance company pays it. That's the only time you have a dollar figure. And that is, first of all, variable because different mm-hmm. doctors have different contracts with different insurance companies. Mm-hmm. And a lot of doctors aren't paid that way.
Right.
So it's that's why I'm very skeptical about the money numbers. But anyway. Do you need an approval from us to take it to the board?
Yes.
Would you like to make a motion? All second, all in favor?
Aye.
Great.
Wonderful.
I'll look forward to it.
And will the revised scope of work be in the full board packet?
I'm not sure that we will have all the time to complete it by then, but we will keep working on it.
Sounds good.
Eventually we will have it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, and now I imagine at the board, we're not going to have a half hour to talk about this. So, you know, a brief presentation, this is the next step, and we've looked at it, and however much you feel you need to present, I think we should bring it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, on that note, you'll get out of your hair.
Thank you.
We really look forward to it. We'll be seeing a lot of you.
Okay, let's see. Let me get back to my agenda page here. Is there any, that was new business.
Item.
Is there any old business? Okay, we're adjourned.